as you know, or perhaps you don't know, we're going through Romans 12. And there's a purpose in that, because when we were looking at it as to doing it as a series, I felt, oh, it's really practical in talking about kingdom culture. And as we keep saying, and you will keep hearing me say, kingdom culture isn't a theory. It isn't something to be just learnt. It is to be caught. It is to be outworked. So, I have the privilege this morning of not moving this this technology on. Is it me, Katie, or is it just... No. Doesn't want to play ball. Anyway, I'm going to read while I let the guys... We've got to Romans 12, verses 4 to 5. So, they say this. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Okay, I'm going to leave that. Okay, only collectively are we whole and complete. I didn't touch it, honest. Oh, no. Is it? Thank you. Only collectively are we whole and complete. Yeah, it is. Thank you for that visual, Matt. You were a bit early, but that's all right. Didn't get involved there. Yes, we can't all be a foot, and we can't all be an eye. So the whole is the greater sum of the parts. Now, from a mishmash of parts, not my words, Paul's, okay? Because Paul says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Thank God. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Thank God. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. So God has taken and takes a mishmash people and he builds them into something that is not only important, but it has worth and beauty. Do you feel beautiful this morning? You all look beautiful this morning. And you all have value, and you all have power and majesty, because God takes those combined parts and he makes us into something beautiful. And only when we each know our part and we submit to the head, which is our Father, does the body work properly. As we all know, the human body doesn't function well when only part of it works. Well, neither does the body of Christ. We're all members, and we all must work in humility. So this morning, we're going to take three aspects from these verses that we've read in Romans 12, 4 and 5. We're going to look at the body of Christ. We're going to look at the aspect of honor within the body and relationships within the body. And then, as a body, we're going to have communion together. So, the body of Christ. As members of the body of Christ, we are lovingly joined in communion, in fellowship, in prayer, and in God's word. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We are one body. So what does that mean to you? When I say we're one body, what is your perception of being one body. And I ask that because we're not a club, we're not a society, we're not an association. Sometimes that's perhaps how some Christians think. Because it produces a, well, I can take or leave that. I do many things. And sometimes this is just another thing in my busyness. But we're not a club. We're not a hobby. We're not an association. Neither is it about us being a physical building. We've said this, but I'm going to say it again. When we move, the new place won't be called Rugeley Community Church. It will be our home because we are Rugeley Community Church. But why I say this is because what joins us together is much deeper than any common interest or hobby. What brings us together is the price that Jesus paid for each and every one of us that are sitting here this morning. He bought us at a great cost. But what that makes us, and what's so wonderful about our relationship with Jesus, is that makes us holy priests in Christ. That's our status in Him. We are a spiritual house where acceptable sacrifices are offered. And you don't have to take my word for that. Peter says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And Paul says in Ephesians, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and raises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Amen. I can contain the excitement in this room from what that truth has just been shared. So just like in the Old Testament, you are holy priests. And just like in the Old Testament, priests were set apart to serve their Heavenly Father. So you have been set apart to serve Him. We are a royal priesthood. Yay. Yeah. Okay. We're His church. Yes. We're His body in Christ. Yes. Let's get the heaters off. Once, and I include myself in this, once we were an individual bunch of unimpressive parts. Now we are in Christ part of someone larger than the whole universe. Isn't that amazing? Yes. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. He's chosen you. He's chosen you. And there's no plan B. Sorry. It's through His church. Who's in His church? Yay. Right. It's through you that His kingdom is going to be made known. So, excuse any guests here. If you're part of Rugeley Community Church, I'd like you to stand. Okay. Now, I want you to look around and I want you to say to the person next to you, I can't do this without you. All right. Okay, so there is no one. There is no one sitting down, is there? No? It's all right, it's not a trick question. There's no one sitting down. So, in that respect then, everyone's got a part to play, yes? Good. Secondly, there are different different gifts in this room that make up the whole, yes? Good, you can sit down now. Now, the truth is, in that, Some of the most prominent and visible gifts are not necessarily the most important gifts. What do I mean by that? Who thinks to have a physical heart is important? Or a kidney? Or a liver? I'm getting worried because some aren't putting their hands up. They're all vital organs, aren't they? But can you see them?
No.
If anyone can, we shall call an ambulance straight away, okay? We shall dial 999 now. But so it is with the gifts. Vital members of the body of Christ may be the least visible. It's not about all being up front. What is vitally important is that each member plays their part. No two members have exactly the same function. And Paul states the importance of unity amongst diversity with the analogy that no part of the human body can do everything. Your nose can't be an eye, can it? No. Good. And that's equally true in the spiritual realm. No one person possesses all the spiritual gifts. As we've seen this morning, there's been a diversity of people contributing to the whole. So I want to ask you, as royal priests, how is your service going? Oh, let me put the question another way. And you have to think about this. Suppose that everyone in the church this morning was you. I know. Yeah, now, don't think about that too long if you don't want to, but just... What would the church be like? Would it be wholeheartedly committing to the purposes of God? Would it be on fire and there'd be everything happening, revival breaking out? Or would it be empty? Because of tiredness. Or circumstances. And I'm not belittling those, because we all go through those. But if we're a royal priesthood, we've got Jesus at the center of our life. And it's all about him. Would the church, if it was all like you or me, would it be able to fill all the ministries that it currently does? Would we still reach people for Jesus? So just take a minute to think about that. Don't take too long. But if that becomes uncomfortable in thinking about that, perhaps the Holy Spirit is just nudging you, me, to do something about that. Do you know that during experiments aboard the space shuttle Columbia, and you couldn't save this one for Trivial Pursuit, I think, huh? That scientists discovered that there are 26 lakes under the Sahara Desert from photographs that they got back. Isn't that fantastic? But in the same breath, isn't that heartbreaking? Because there are people who are dying of thirst and starvation because of lack of water. Because there's hidden resources that haven't been tapped into. Now, where am I going with this? Well, in a similar way, in this room this morning, there are spiritual gifts that have not been tapped into, that lie buried. Some of us are missing out on what we would call the Christian life, and all that it's about, because we're settling for something far less than what God has called us to. And his encouragement with him is to dig deep with him. This room is so full of gifts this morning and his purposes. And yet sometimes that will only come out as we go deep with him and we learn from him. And if we don't have a strong assurance of who we are in Christ, it affects our attitude to the importance of the part that we each have to play. If God's purposes are to be accomplished, for Rugeley Community Church, every one of us is important. And we're going to have a bit more audience participation now, okay? So, I want you to say to the person next to you, nobody is a nobody in the body of Christ. Okay. Nobody is a nobody in the body of Christ. While no one can do everything, everyone can do something. Isn't that right? So, I'm going to take a R-I-S-K now, risk. Where's Alan Ball? Alan Ball, would you like to come to the front? Sarah, would you like to come to the front? Rosalie? I'd like you all to stand in a line. Now, ready? We're going to do the song I've taught you, okay? No, I'm only joking. Okay. Right. Please, God, let this work. In our shape, there is diversity. So that. No. I never went. That's not why you're out here. Well, I thought you were the right person. They know when they say, you never work with children and animals, and I was going to have Anne Rosalie up the front. I mean that in love, so you're right. What I mean is, they're a male, they're a female, there are different heights. There are younger members, there are golden members. Yeah. But we are all different, aren't we? I was going to wear one of my really flower shirts and say some of us wear different things, but I didn't get past the wardrobe, so that's going to have to be redone. But we can think of that in the body, and yeah, we can say, yeah, that's external. But you know, in our shape, there is diversity. That's your good enough. There is diversity within us. Because in each of these guys, there are spiritual gifts that are different from Sarah's to mine, to Alan's, to Rosalie. There's a heart connection that is different, but it all adds to the whole, to the body. There are abilities, there are talents here that make up the whole. That make up the whole. There's personality that is worked through. And there is experiences. No two kingdom CVs are the same in this line. And that's the wonder of how God works. Now, I might be strong in my gifted area, but I am weak in their gifted area. So, what does God do about that? Well, in his diversity, that is healthy, actually. We're all spiritually, not only physically, but spiritually, a different shape. And that's good. Now, I'm going to show you what that means. Because I don't want to come between you, but I'm going to. When I exercise my spiritual gift in ministry, I'm strong in that. But then when I move to another area where Rosalie's gifting is strong, I am weak. But then that's when I have to depend on now you can put your arm around me. Thank you. Like I showed you earlier. I'm weak in that area, but Rosalie is strong. Now, we all know that a chain is stronger than a single piece of string. So God puts us together to make us one. So, yeah, thank you, Sarah. I didn't want you feeling left out. That's right, yeah. See, that's your strength. I should have got some more people up, but I said, yeah, that's your strength. So, what I'm trying to just say is, we need each other. Where I'm strong, I'm weak. But I've got Rosalie. Sorry, Rosalie. I'm weak. So that's why we need each other. And that's why we need to honour one another. But that's why it's important that we are together as body. So you matter. If you're not here, now we all have reasons why we're here, but if you're not here, suddenly my link's gone. And suddenly where I am weak and your gifting would have been strong, if you're not here, you wouldn't make me part of the link, would we? No, thank you. Thank you very much. You can sit down there, thank you. So do you see the importance we all have to play? We all make up the one body. Yeah. We've all got different gifts and ministry that God has called us to. And we must rely on other members of the body just as they must rely on us. So within that, I will look at second aspect, honor within the body. Our culture is one of honor. So we rejoice in the talents God has given each of us to build up the body. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 12. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its part should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Our primary mode for serving, regardless of our talents or giftings, is by loving one another. We're not competing for honors or entitlements. We follow Jesus' example. We serve first. And we are to honor one another above ourselves. And when we do that, we are expressing loving concern for one another. And that's important. Because if we're expressing concern for every part of the body, that means that jealousy, envy, arrogance, self-centeredness and selfishness cannot be sown into the body. Because any of these elements will tear apart that unity and loving concern within the body of Christ. Experts say that 85% of the success of people in the workplace is directly related to their interpersonal relationships. Wrong attitudes hinder good relationships. Some of the most gifted people in the world struggle to get along with others. And if a gifted person joins a church, and yet they're carrying a wrong attitude, I could probably say within my, I don't know, I've been an elder, number of years, double figures now because we're elder in Lewis, I can say in that time, at some point, that person will end up leaving the church. Because gifting alone isn't enough to keep us in the body. The answer and the challenge to every single one of us, which Mick put so well last week, is that your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now, that's not negotiable. That's end of argument. That's the bottom line. That's where it builds up from. Our heart should be that we are determined to follow the example of Jesus, serving people and considering them better than ourselves. That's a challenge to us all. But the fruit of that challenge is that we grow as family and we develop and become more Christ-like. Because it is all about relationship. I put this on because I love this quote. We are a jigsaw of shapes and stories and misshapen parts, and we make a beautiful picture. Yeah. I think it was on a chocolate box. No, it wasn't on a chocolate box. As I've said, the body of Christ means that God has not called us to be in isolation, but in relationship with one another. I don't know about you, but we see it a lot on television now and in articles. People admire strong people. People who are strong, independent, are going forward, and who can make it on their own. But you know, that can lead us to have a subconscious thinking, even as Christians, that if we're depending on others, that's a sign of weakness. And that's not true. As Christians, we have to fight that tendency. We are the body. We are that chain. We are the cogs that make up the whole. Yet it's true that every believer must bear their own load and be responsible for their own spiritual growth. Galatians quite clearly tells us, for each one should carry his own load. But it is also true that we must bear one another's burdens. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So it's that balance of, yes, we have a responsibility, but we also have a responsibility jointly in that. The concept of the body is that we need each other to grow and stand strong against the enemy. In his book, Building Up One Another, Gene Gritz, says this. He says this about, this is his chapter headings for One Another. And what he looked at, he said, outside of the four Gospels, there are 58 uses of the Greek word that is usually translated one another. And so he has these chapter headings: members of one another, devoted to one another, honor one another, be of the same mind with one another, accept one another, admonish one another, greet one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens, bearing with one another, submit to one another, encourage one another. I had to train for that, you know. I was out of breath the first few times, but I was all right. Each one of these one another's, they are specific ways to show love to one another. And it's what his point he was making by saying this from the New Testament is that the New Testament has a strong priority that we are not, firstly, to be Christians in isolation. It's one anothering. And yet often, Christian relationships can result in misunderstanding, conflicts, and hurts. And what does that lead to? Isolation. It's sad when you meet Christians who've been deeply hurt by fellow believers. And they've either dropped out of church family because of bad experience, or they'll connect with another church family, but they won't connect in a way that is going to expose or tread on their hurts. So it can be quite superficial. And then what happens is they get a wrong perception of what church family is. Now perhaps there's things that hold some of us back here this morning. And it's unfortunate. We live in a fallen world, and that's not making excuses, that's just a fact. We live in a fallen world that even in the body of Christ, relationships always expose us to the risk of getting hurt. I half jokingly want to say, when people join us, that we will probably hurt or offend you at some stage of our journey together. It's not intentional, but it is inevitable, because we all have differences, and we all are all prone still to sin. And when you get people of different ages, different cultures, different racial backgrounds together, then you throw in the world, the flesh, and the devil. Boy, have you got a stew brewing there that has the potential for conflict and division. And I wonder sometimes if we should have a sign over our front door. And I don't mean this in a building sense, I mean this in a people sense, still under construction. And you know, we should all wear hard hats to protect our minds and safety vests to guard our hearts. Because that's the reality of family. But, and it's a big but, the benefits of a loving relationship and your church family always outweigh the risks of getting hurt. We grow and we learn and we walk together. So, I want to finish by telling you a story. Is there someone on the telly used to say that? Oh, that's it, yeah. Ha, ha, ha. No, I can't do it, no. I want to read you a story. During vacation Bible school, a woman teaching primary class was interrupted about an hour before dismissal when a new boy was brought in. He only had one arm, and the teacher did not know any details about why he was missing his arm or how he had been or how he may have adjusted to this handicap. She was nervous and afraid that one of the other children would comment on it and embarrass him. But she had no opportunity to coach them on how to respond. As the class came to the close without incident, she began to relax. She asked the class to join her in their usual closing ceremony. "Let's make our churches," she said. "Here's the church, and here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the..." But she didn't get as far as that. Suddenly, the awful truth of her own actions hit her. The very thing that she had feared the children would do, she had done. But as she paused speechless, the little girl sitting next to the new boy reached over with her left hand and placed it up to his right hand and said, "Davy, let's make the church together." Yeah. Without knowing it, that little girl gave us a beautiful picture of how the body of Christ is supposed to function. We shouldn't arrogantly let the person with one hand know that we've got two and he can't do what we can do. Rather, recognizing our unity as members of the same body and our interdependence as different members of that body, we come alongside one another and say, "Let's make the church together." Do you know that you belong to the person sitting next to you? I don't mean physically, but I mean as part of the body you belong. All right? We're in the same family together, and we each have different roles to play. So don't get puffed up in your own importance. And don't take yourself out of the game by thinking that you don't matter. We need each other because we belong to each other. Amen? Amen. I thought now would be the good time to do communion as one body. So, Trevor, can you... help me over with. I want to go to the front. Yeah, yeah. Okay, thanks. One Corinthians 10:16 says this: "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf." So we're partaking this morning of the covenant meal. But we're also joined together in that partaking of the covenant meal. And we're joined because of his broken body and the blood that flowed for each one of us. And so the blessing and the responsibilities of the covenant are therefore extended laterally, because it touches every one of us, as they certainly are vertically to our Heavenly Father. So in our relationship, even this morning, we form the cross of Christ. Because laterally we're taking it as one family together and remembering what he has done and being thankful that we are one body in Christ. But in that thankfulness, we're taking it vertically to him this morning. So how are we going to do this? Well, I'm going to pray for the and thank Jesus for his body and his blood. And then you're going to come, take a piece of bread and a cup, and you're going to share that with someone within the body. Preferably not a sister. I know how much you love each other, but not a sister. Nor husband and wife. I want you to be a demonstration of the body this morning. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you that we are one body in Christ. And in that body, there is diversity. But, Lord, I thank you of the depth of being one body. That, Lord, that your body was broken for us. Lord, we thank you that you willingly went to that cross for each one of us. And that, Lord, through your blood that was spilt, Lord, we are partakers in remembering that which you have done for us. That, Lord, we have been cleansed from our sins. That, Lord, that we are priests, part of your royal priesthood. That we are a spiritual house that is being built up. Lord, we're not about hobbies or interests. We have been bought with the ultimate price and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for every single person in your body that is named Rugeley Community Church. I thank you that we don't have any nobodies in this church, Father. Everyone is a somebody. Everyone has a part to play. Everyone has a position, whether it's visible or not visible, that is missing if it's not being fulfilled. So we thank you, Lord. As we partake of this communion together, laterally as one body, Lord, may we, as we come together, give thanks, as it were, vertically, for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want you to come, I want you to take bread and take juice, and then I want you to go and just together, thank Jesus for what he's done, but also thank each other that you're in and have been placed in the same body of Christ. And I want you to say to that person, you're somebody I can't do without. Okay, don't all rush at once, but you can come forward. Thank you. And Matt, if you just got to put the ministry tape on low, thanks, that would be great, thank you. Okay, if we could just come back together. I want us to physically perform another visible of the body of Christ. So, as you know, the charity that both Dave and Wendy are involved in, Dave has felt that the Lord has prompted him to go over to Romania and pray for two young ladies, particularly who are very poorly. They both have HIV?
Yeah, and yeah. They've got TB.
They've got HIV and they've got TB. And he felt very much... Are you going as well, Wendy? No, I didn't think that's okay. I was going to get you up as well, that was all. But he feels he wants to go over and pray for them. So he's taking kingdom to them. But we're his family. Yeah. We're part of that kingdom. So it's not Dave going out there. It is Dave going out there, but it's us going with him in thoughts and prayers. So I want us to stand and I want us to raise our hands out. And we just ask that what God has stirred in this man's heart, Father, we ask you, anoint by your Holy Spirit. Lord, he might go with a bag, he might have a coat, but Lord, it's the Holy Spirit that this man needs in you to accomplish that which you've asked of him. So, Father, we ask you now, just anoint his words, anoint his hands as he lays them upon these two young girls, Father. And we say, Lord, may your kingdom come and may your will be done in Jesus' name. Lord, may they be set free from HIV and TB. Lord, we're asking that, not in some vain thing, but Lord, we step out in faith and say, Lord, you're a God that heals today, and we ask you, anoint this man so that, Lord, he carries kingdom. And Lord, I pray you will use him mightily out in Romania when he's there, Father. Lord, I pray every word that he says will bring your love, compassion, healing, forgiveness, and release in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we pray not only may you know your presence with him, but may be reassured that it goes before him in the name of Jesus. And all the family said, Amen. 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 Go.